Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Tough loss on Sunday. We're not going to talk a great deal about it. I don't think I've ever seen a game played between the 40s or the 30s, the 30 to 30 for both teams. And it just, you move the ball and you get to a point, and they move the ball and get to a point. I mean, it was a weird kind of, I mean, the turnovers are the key, obviously, but it was a game literally played between the 30s.
It was. And there's not a lot of red zone opportunities for either team. And sometimes you get into those battles. And, you just said it in your opener, you know, turnovers are the key. And we got to eliminate those.
Yeah, that's the difference. I mean, you look at pre-Chicago, you'd had four. You're tied for fourth in the NFL. You'd had the five turnovers that you got against the Giants. But when you get turned over four times in Chicago, four times at home, it's your chances of winning go down at such a huge number. It's tough to overcome.
Yeah, it is. It's very tough to overcome. It's and it's tough to win ball games like that. We all know that. You know, our players know that. Kellen knows that. And they don't have it on purpose, obviously. And they pay the other side of the ball, you know, as well as we pay our players. So we just got to do a better job of catching it and securing it. And our players know that, and they'll do a much better job here moving forward.
It's almost back to basics, back to the fundamentals, back to the things. I mean, there were a lot of pre-snap penalties. I'm not talking about false starts, some illegal formation, illegal shifts, neutral zone, stuff that you probably wouldn't expect to be happening after three preseason games and eight games. And then it's, you know, catch, hold the ball, you know, tackle. It almost feels like somehow a reset button and back to the basics.
Yeah, you know, at some point, you know, thought we kind of got past some of those because we got to a point early in the season that we were having some of those pre-snap penalties, and then we kind of erased them for a couple of weeks, and then now all of a sudden they're kind of showing back up again. So I think it's why we pay our coaches, and our coaches are going to do a great job of putting our thumbs down on some basics and some fundamentals and. You never can get away from them. You know, you got to coach them every single week, and I know our coaches are. But it's the importance of those little things that mean the most. You know, sometimes just catching and tackling and securing a ball. You know, after you run it, and it's always the guy that you don't see that's going to make the play. So you got to make sure you're securing the ball. As you're getting hit.
It's one of the few jobs where the amount of work doesn't always equal the results. You could work as harder than anybody, but the amount of work sometimes during the week doesn't always equal results, and it's tough.
We all feel that, and look, we got a young team. We're clawing and scratching for everything we get, and that's just where we're at right now, and that's going to get easier as time goes by. I know it will. We've got some really smart coaches and some really good players on our roster. So it's just got to come together, and it will. It's just a matter of time.
You, when you were in Miami, inherited a 1-15 team and turned it around. A lot of wholesale changes, a lot of changes on you know, really throughout the franchise. But as you go through your past, you've worked with Bill Parcells and Todd Bowles, who was on an interim basis, Sean Payton, you know, Dennis Allen. Did you work with Vermeil in Kansas City?
I did, briefly.
And yeah. Herm as well, Herm Edwards
no,
as well?
No, not with Herm, right? but with Dick and with Dick. Gunther Cunningham and Marty Schottenheimer.
So you've worked with some, you know, icons, and I guess you reach back for some of those moments and some of those things to try to, you know, I don't know, talk to Kellen or whatever, just about, hey, this is part of it, right? And there were not great expectations, and that doesn't, there were inside the building, don't get me wrong, but that this is part of the process. It's a process.
It is. It's a process. And not only that, you know, you go from Sean to Dennis, and that was kind of the same tree. And now you're kind of going outside the tree. You know, you've plucked, you know, a young, vibrant, really, really smart quarterback, savant, you know, but it's completely different from a different tree. And so, you know, we're learning him as much as he's learning us. Expectations are high, obviously, in the building and with our players and with our coaching staff. But it takes a little time. You know, look at the Detroit Lions. I mean, I think Dan lost 11 that year, you know, so we just have to have some patience. We got to stick together as a team and a staff. You know, we got to get through, you know, this season. And you know, our job and my job always is to put better players on the roster. And that points at myself and Mickey and Michael. And we've got to do a really good job this offseason of getting better players. But in the meantime, we've got to keep grinding through, you know, these games, and something's going to really stick here for too long. You can see it coming.
Yeah, because it's just not one thing. If it were, I mean, I don't know that you could ask your defense to do a lot more than give up one touchdown. And quite frankly, that was close to being the two of the most impressive. We'll talk about that a little later. Fourth down, you know, first and goals inside the one. But it's the turnovers, or it's the penalties, or it's the last drive where you have opportunities. They're all different. I take the Seattle game and just it didn't happen. You've been in games. There have been moments. It's those impactful moments of a game, and we always go right to that fourth quarter drive. But really, it might have been a play or two in the second and third quarter when one team is going to make the impact, significant play that might adjust the outcome, and it's been the opponent, and that's where you got to make that flip.
You did, yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, and look, and we're going to make those adjustments, and you know, sometimes you feel like you have to play a perfect game, and there is no perfect game, but we can't keep turning the ball over, and we can't keep making silly mistakes, and look, we're, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we thought we were kind of getting over the hump with some of those things, and they creep back in there, so you got to keep coaching the fundamentals and the details, and our coaches do a great job of that. And so, we'll get over that hump, and we'll start putting some things together that are complementary to each other.
Need to take a quick break. We are talking with Vice President and Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, with Vice President, Assistant General Manager, and also College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. And Tuesday, there's not usually a bunch of news that comes out. Today, there was. And Kellen Moore said it yesterday in his presser that he was not going to wait long on the quarterback situation. And Tyler Shuck, who came in the third quarter of the last game for an offensive spark, will get the start against the Rams.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, it's his time up. You know, next man up. And, you know, I don't have any preference to either quarterback. Heck, I drafted both of them. So,
you know, you're Canada, you're in the middle.
Yeah, look, it's you know, I'm excited for Tyler as much as I was excited for Spencer, and you know, this is his opportunity to you know, make his mark on in his career and on this football team. So he's the next man up, and excited for him, excited for his opportunity. He's worked his tail off to get the opportunity, obviously, you know, 7 years in college and, you know, and being a great backup to Spencer, you know, these games. And, you know, so, but look, he brings a little different, you know, skill set to the team, a little bigger guy, and, you know, he's got a little bit more running ability, but, you know, so we'll see, you know, how that goes. And, you know, I'm excited for his opportunity.
It is, he's bigger, but yet he does have, he probably for the size has a lot more speed and elusiveness that maybe you might expect right away.
Well, he's definitely faster just on the clock. You know, Spencer has, you know, some uncanny quickness, and, you know, he's got eyes in the back of his head in some cases not, but he is very savvy, and, you know, so, but Tyler brings, you know, some speed and size and maybe a little bit more strength in the pocket. And, you know, it's hard to separate their arm strength because it's, you know, they're both there. So, but it'd be a little different challenge for, you know, our opponent to really get ready for him.
I'm not going to sit here and ask you a ton of questions about Tyler. It just happened, and the coach will face a lot of these questions from our Tyler as well. But he came in at the end of the Seattle game, and we got in with the 4 minute mark of the third quarter, 17-3, threw 30 passes in a quarter and 4 minutes. So you've had an opportunity to see him, but not really with the scripted plays, not with the offense. So that's the big change.
Well, that's a huge change. I mean, he really doesn't get a lot of, you know, first team reps during the week. You know, he handles our scout team, so he's had a lot of mental reps, but not a lot of reps with the number one team. And so when you see him go in like that, he hasn't had a week of preparation like a starter. So he's got a completely different set of circumstances going in as the starter. He's going to have all the reps this week, you know, with the offense, with his number one receivers, and he'll be able to hear it and then call it, you know, hear it in the helmet and then call it. And so it's different for him. And, you know, but, you know, he was certainly prepared for that game last week, but he'll be really prepared for this one.
So fine, never easy. I don't know. I feel like we have a second residence there the last few years, but and then the Rams coming off of a bye week. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the Rams coming up the rest of this week, but that will be a tough one. They're very close to being unbeaten. I think this will be, even though you played at Buffalo, I think this is probably one of the biggest tests that you'll face this year.
Yeah, whenever you're facing Matt Stafford and you know, Puka Nacua and that defense that really, you know, can pin their ears back and get after you, this would be a good challenge for us. I thought we matched up pretty good when we practiced against them back in the summer, you know, but you know, we weren't game planning or anything like that. So this would be a good matchup for us.
Were you watching kind of both? On that one, were you on what side of the field? Because I know Kellen stayed kind of more with the offense.
Yeah, I think I was with the defense on that one, and but you know, you watch the tape, so you kind of watch both sides, and you know they've got some. Yeah, I think I was kind of watching a lot of their bubble players, if I remember correctly, because there are some guys that you know, that were going to get cut, and you want to get your eyes on those guys. So I didn't really spend a lot of time watching Matt Stafford, and that I don't think he actually practiced that week, actually. But yeah, that's where my eyes were.
Everybody, you guys watch games differently than
we do.
Than most.
Yeah, we do.
Most watching the bubble guys. How'd Matt do? Don't know. You're right. He didn't practice, but I was on the defensive side. So I, you know, saw video of the offense, but I've never seen, and you talk about a statement that the Saints defense wanted to make early, and that's Chase Young and DeMario Davis, which I'm sure you saw on film. I've never seen a head coach of the opponent, Sean McVay, spend more time on the Saints bench kind of yapping at DeMario and Chase, like, dudes,
back off.
Stop. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. And I'm sorry, but, you know, those guys got one speed.
That's right.
And
that's
right. And we're seeing, man, Chase Young can impact, you know, it's the hidden stats with Chase to me, correct? I mean, he's finally getting the batted down balls and the sack, but, I mean, he has so many pressures and hidden, you know, you're always aware of where that cat is.
Well, he just gobbles up a lot of yardage when he takes one step. You know, like he's just a different animal. They don't make him like that You know, whenever you see someone like that, you got to pay attention in our world. He's a great person too, which is awesome. But he's long, he's fast, he's powerful. And I'm glad he's back on the field. You know, we needed him. We missed him those first 4 weeks. And so, you know, he's getting his legs underneath him, and he's able to play more snaps now. And, you know, knock on wood that that he's healthy, you know, for the remainder of the season.
That defensive stand, the first one, and we can include the second one because the second one was just a hair. But you could see how the play calling changed in the second one from the first one. But that first one was five plays because they had a penalty. So the ball was inside the one, 6 inches away. This is after a 15-yard run, mind you, Sean Tucker. Gaping hole. That defensive stand, which to me, and I said the same thing to Kellen last night, was a statement in that Tampa said, all right, we are going to run it at you, middle, four left guard, and we're going to score. And you guys said, nope. And from the one-inch line, that's impressive.
It was very impressive. I haven't seen that showing of a goal line stand in quite some time. You know, your chances of you getting the 6-inch line, your chances of scoring are in the 80s.
Right.
You know,
I mean, just lunge. Right. But the only way it doesn't happen is if you get defensive penetration every time. Bradshaw, Shepard, you know, DeMario.
Yeah. It was very impressive. And, you know, and then to go back and almost do it again, you know, Kool-Aid had two great pass breakups in that game. And then Rumpf. He knocks the tight end back and gets penetration. And really, we're just, you know, I'm putting two fingers up, you know, with an inch. We're just that much from actually stopping on the fourth down play. We just had one guy just a little bit outside out of the gap. And of course, they just get a little crease there and they get it. But that's hard to do. That's hard to do. Now, almost 10 plays, 9 plays to stop someone on the one-inch line. Yeah, it's pretty tough. But they did a great job.
Need to take a break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. The Bullseye Saints Hour, right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. And College Personnel, we have spent this first couple of segments and we haven't really talked about really what you're doing, and that is, this has got to be push the button time. I mean, everybody's out, right? You're going out tomorrow. Give us a sense of what the college landscape, from a player standpoint. Let's not do the college landscape. Let's do the college landscape player standpoint.
Well, it doesn't really change too much. You know, we got 10 scouts out on the road, and for the most part, most of those guys will be out till the end of November. A couple of us are going to kind of come off the road and start kind of grinding through miles and miles of tape, as we used to say it, and just kind of get a real good picture of the top 150 players on the board. You can't substitute going and seeing them and going and talk to the coaches and seeing them on the hoof. And, you know, for the most part, I think we've done a pretty good job of scouring the country for those guys.
And the area scouts by region are typically going to schools looking at a particular person, talking to that person, and maybe it's two or three people. How much can you get in one visit? What's the typical role?
Yeah, so an area scout is basically, he's got an area, and he's going into every school that plays football in that area. And we subscribe to National Football Scouting, which gives us a list of players going into the fall that that we'll follow. And then, so an area scout's going to go into a school, let's just call it Ole Miss. And he's going to go in there, he's going to talk to a liaison that handles the scouts, make sure he's, you know, talking to the right people. And our scouts will say, hey, look, can I talk to the offensive line coach, the defensive line coach, maybe the secondary coach? And then, you know, so we'll get meetings with those coaches. We'll talk to strength coach, we'll talk to trainer, we'll talk to nutritionist, we'll talk to player engagement, just to get a real good grasp of the person. And, you know, a lot of those people have maybe different opinions of the person, you know, how well he handles his business. We'll talk to academic advisors, academic, engagement people, tutors, and things like that. And so at the end of the day, at the end of that day, that scout should have a pretty good idea of the kind of the person the kid is and how he learns. And but yet he's also still has to talk, you know, watch the tape and go watch practice and see how he interacts with coaches and things like that. But there's a private investigator aspect to a scout. There's obviously an evaluator aspect to the scout. And then there's kind of a personality, you know, psychologist, you know, to a scout as well, because he's got to really kind of get in and understand, you know, what a coach, what a liaison, what a trainer is saying about the kid, and using terms that are ambiguous sometimes, you know, and those terms change from school to school to school. I mean, he's a great kid. He's a good kid. He's an above average kid. He's an okay kid. He's decent. You know, all those things are ambiguous.
Those are code words for you
those
guys,
are all
right?
Code words, you know, but yet they can all mean the same thing, depending on, you know, how the reference of how the coach is using those terms.
But the kid, whoever it is you're looking at, everybody's a kid to me, but that young man, whoever you're looking at, knows you're there, right? He knows this is the practice if I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, you know, the schools that I go to, which are mainly Power Four schools, and, you know, they know that on Tuesday and Wednesday that scouts are going to be at the school. Yeah, so, yeah. They may not particularly know that, you know, Jeff Ireland from the Saints is there, but they'll know that scouts are available on those 2 or 3 days a week, and they're going to be out of practice that period of time. Yeah, so those kids know that the scouts are over there.
So I used to have a news director that, because you would always, don't show me your best work. He knows you're coming that day. I'm going to give you my 110% practice. Show me your last three practices when you didn't know I was coming, right? I mean, and she would say, show me your last three stories before you knew this best was coming up. There must be a lot of that, because you have to look back. It's got to be a bigger picture, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, our video access is probably not to the last three practices that scouts weren't there. Our video access is to game video. So you're only as good as what you put on game video.
That's enough. I mean, it should be.
In the spring, we'll get some, you know, some practice one-on-one. You know, maybe there's Ohio State, there's a great receiver versus a great defensive back. And, hey, can we see those? Or a great tackle versus a great defensive end. Can we see some of those? And so we'll get our hands on some practice video, but it's not until the spring that we get that video on there. So,
but it all has to play into a big picture, because there might be a draft board of 150, and the trade deadline is November 4th, and there are players on that board who aren't on the board, but there's also another board of fourth-year players, fifth-year players, who's going to get re-signed, who's coming back. I mean, it's all, you know, somehow got to come together. It's not right away, yep. Not during the season, but they're it's looking at the right board and going, I don't know if we're going to bring him back. So therefore, we got to draft somebody over here or sign somebody else, right? I mean,
it's a big picture. It's a big ongoing. You know, until you hit some certain deadlines, you won't really know until, you know, some of those deadlines are met. Until you know a guy's going to come back, and you know certainly. NIL, portal, paying college players has helped us understand a little bit more about why a player may stay in school versus come out. A lot more players over the last 3 years are staying in school versus coming out because schools are able to pay them, you know, an amount, you know, equal to a, you know, fourth or fifth or sixth round draft choice signing bonus. And so they're using that as a barometer to keep a player in, you know, in school. Some of these quarterbacks are, you know, they're making a bunch of money. They're making seven figures, some of these Power Four schools. And so, you know, to be able to get that guaranteed check versus having to compete, you know, for a roster spot, you know. So, shoot, if I was a quarterback and it could go 7-8 years in schools, I would take that opportunity. So it's just crazy. It's crazy what we're looking at.
You mentioned earlier my job is to get weapons for this team. Do you feel – this is an impossible question, and one you have to answer 50 times between now and the draft – more offensive weapons for Kellen Moore's offense? It's a different animal than it was in previous years.
Look, our job is to, you know, look, we only get roughly 7 picks a year, you know, get another 10 opportunities in free agency. So you're going to have 17 new players on your, you know, in camp that have a real good shot at making your roster. You know, I think Kellen can dial up an offense that can use any kind of weapon. You know, we got weapons on this football team. We certainly do. You know, my job is to put them in line, and whether they're weapons on offense or weapons on defense, or playmakers, you know, we just got to make the right decisions on what that player is. And everybody wants more offensive weaponry because it's an offensive league, they would say so. But, you know, but pressuring the quarterback and defending those weapons on the other side of the ball is also very important. So is that a good way to not answer your question?
Well, I mean, it's you're going to have a board of 150, yeah, right? Yeah. So I get it. And the uniqueness to me, it feels like, was where you only have, I think, 6 picks as it stands right now, but you got players, yep, right? You have Vele, who I think, you know what is yep. Well, Mike Cost thinks he's going to be a hell of a player. There you go.
I think
him, and you got Gottschall. And to me, the Jalen Polk is an interesting one. I don't think I've ever seen where a guy you trade for and he can't even play. Can't play till next year. But that I just feel like that could be a possible, what a steal, right? That you were able to get. It feels like the approach, I don't want to say different, but you've got, you're missing some picks, but you got players.
We do have some players, and excited about those players. You know, Vele and Polk you mentioned, and those two in particular, you know, we have a very fast receiving core with Brandon and Sheed and CO, very fast, you know, and very quick, but they're not big bodies. And so kind of think in training camp, you know, that was pretty evident that we had some really fast guys, but some, I wouldn't say undersized, but not prototype in some cases. And there's a need for receivers to do the dirty work, you know, and dirty work being blocking, you know, dirty work being, you know, third and four, you know, inside slant versus contested, you know, contested catches and things like that. So you did feel like you needed to get some bigger bodies to, you know, to do some of that dirty work. And as it relates to Polk, you know, Polk's a player that we had pretty high on our board when he came out in the draft. We just didn't get our hands on him. For whatever reason, new staff, a new head coach in New England. He got hurt. He got kind of sideways with that new coach, potentially. That's what I think. I don't know that to be a fact.
They put him on the trade
block for less than what we had him on the board for. So it was an opportunity for us to use a pick and go after something that we think the value of that player is much greater than the value that we had to pay for him. So that made sense to us. And so he's a big body, big dirty work guy. and pretty tough too. So,
and finally, when you look at the draft and you get Alvin in 17, and you've worked free agency pretty much from a tight end standpoint, and you pick Devin in the sixth round, but is it just a kind of a coincidence if you look at drafting running backs high or tight ends high? It just hasn't really, you know, whether it's best player available or whatever, or it's, you know, you feel like you can get them elsewhere, or I don't know, those two positions.
You know, like every draft, you know, you're going to have players on the board based on where you feel like they should be and their expectation. You know, we work on an expectation from a description standpoint of where they're on the board. And we've had a bunch of running backs and a bunch of tight ends in the first and second and third rounds. But there's not a lot of them sometimes. And sometimes your holes or your needs or your musts, you know, just it doesn't match with the board.
It outweighs the players sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you definitely want that tight end or that running back up there. And it just doesn't pan out that he's taking maybe a pick or two before you, and so you got to adjust. And, you know, we had, obviously, Kendre in the, you know, the third round, you know, a couple of years ago, and he was having a heck of a year. Unfortunately, got hurt. But, you know, tight ends is one of those positions where, you know, you've there's not a lot of them. And you got to kind of really put them in a position to draft them, and we have, and it just hadn't worked out. But that's something, you know, we certainly look forward to in the next draft.
Lots of football to play. It's just week 8, plenty of time for the draft deadline. And by the way, the draft deadline is that. It's a deadline. You can trade right now. I say draft deadline. Trade deadline. The trade deadline is November 4th. You can do it today if you want to. So we'll see what happens. And again, you know, lots of Tyler Shuck, a lot of football to play. Best of luck. These are tough times, but you fight your way through it. And
you do.
The character comes to the top.
That's right. That's right. We got a great locker room full of high character goods, and we'll come out on the end of this. Thanks, Mike, for having me.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we will talk with linebacker Isaiah Stallbird. He has been really progressing on the defensive side of the football. Want to hear his thoughts about his role at Nebraska, then South Dakota State. So Isaiah Stallbird is next here on the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and this is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW. Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints linebacker Isaiah Stallbart out of South Dakota State. So you were born in Kearney, Nebraska, right?
Well, I was actually born
in Chicago.
Yeah, born in Chicago.
But grew up in Kearney?
Yeah.
So
yep.
Kearney's central Nebraska. Lincoln's to the east and Omaha. Yeah. But if you grew up in Kearney, as a there's one choice for college, right? Big Red?
Yep. I mean, we had a local D2, but yeah, it was like pretty much Big Red or nothing else for me, so.
But you went there and decided you were playing, but you wanted more, and that took you to South Dakota State.
Yep. And it's funny because I was recruited really late my senior year, and they were actually my first scholarship offer, and I still chose to walk on at Nebraska. So
it's all right. It says a lot about character, really, quite frankly. So now we'll go backwards, and you have been playing. Certainly special teams ace, really. You played 5 games last year. Did you feel that your role was going to change even as early as camp?
Honestly, I don't think it was until the Chargers preseason game where I kind of got more of an idea, because I was still getting adjusted to the new scheme and everything. I mean, I've always believed in myself and my abilities, but yeah, I think after that game, I kind of knew it, like, okay, I'm really, stepping into myself as a player, and then hopefully earning more trust from the coaches and be able to build into that role. So it's been super cool to see.
Everybody has that NFL moment. You know, usually if you're asking a running back or a quarterback, it's a hit.
Yeah.
But for you, was it, I don't, if this sounds disrespectful, I do not mean it to.
No.
But almost like I belong.
Yeah. Because I mean, coming out, I was a tweener. So it's like, do they really believe I can play linebacker? Could I play safety? Coming in last year and this year, just going out and prove that I can, even though I'm undersized, it's like I still get in there and bang with everybody and prove all my traits. So,
well, there's another saying. It's called speed kills.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you must have relied on – you're a wide receiver in high school. You played wide receiver in high school.
Yeah.
So from wide receiver – to like nickel, DB, safety. You didn't come, I think, a full-time linebacker probably till like 21, something like that, right?
Yeah, 21, our first game against Colorado State. Yeah.
So it's you are a definition of a tweener.
Yeah. I played that game. Yeah, I was like 205 pounds playing linebacker.
What are you now?
I'm sitting around 220, 225, kind of floating between that. So
is that, do they have a, hey, we'd rather have you at 230, or they feel like this is, but just being heavier doesn't make you better.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's got an optimal range. Even when I'm heavier, but I feel just as fast, just as strong. And then when I've had a drop weight, I still feel the same. So it's kind of, it doesn't really matter to me. They everyone bases the range off of your body composition and things like that. So
I don't know what it was like at Nebraska and South Dakota State, but I've talked to the performance staff here, and it's from a technology standpoint, it's just unbelievable, really, when you think about it. The kind of things that they can do, they're monitoring your steps and looking at your angles. I mean, it's really kind of, it's all GPS. It's all kind of crazy, right?
Yep, it is nuts. Always having those trackers tracking your speed and acceleration. We come out every day after practice, and they have for each group has a top speed, top excel. So it's always also a competition for us, too. A little bit of bragging rights when you're out there. So.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't that part I hadn't heard of.
Yeah,
I was talking to Kendre Miller, and he was talking about he had a step monitor on. And I'm like, well, I have a step monitor on, but I think those are two different things, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what in the world could a step monitor from an NFL team? And it's like, well, they kind of monitor. All right, he's had enough.
You know,
we don't want to push too hard in this realm or in this spot of practice.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a monitoring device, different.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So at the end of most practices, where does Isaiah Stallbart fall in the speed category?
Usually at the top.
Yeah.
if not one, two. That's where I like to be at. So it's always funny because they're like, oh, you're up there again. I'm like, yeah, you guys got to catch me.
who's your biggest competition there?
Well, it'd probably be like, for the bigs, it'd be the running backs.
No other linebacker.
Well, I mean, like Danny and Pete and obviously Double D, Jalen. Like, we're just all competitive, even if, you know, I'm usually sitting at the top. It's still fun. Because, I mean, we, as far as the linebacker room, we have a good room that likes to compete and just keep it lighthearted.
I don't know what you expected when you first met up with DeMario Davis, and that was probably 24, right? You were practice squad 24, signed somewhere in that during that year.
Yeah.
So he would have been 33, something like that, 30, I don't know. Yeah. He is lifeless, right? I mean, just what you've learned from either on field or off field, because he's the most, you know, he's just a unique, amazing person. And I don't see a step slow out of him now on Sunday in Tampa. I just don't.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what did you learn from him on and off the field?
That's probably been one of the biggest blessings for me. You know, first year we're still kind of like warming up to each other, gaining the vet's respect, and then I feel like we've gotten a lot closer to this off season than this season. But I've just, on the field, I've learned so much stuff from him as far as like eye progression and different keys like that, film study, and then I've been able to connect with him off the field as well. Like last week, I just went to an event with him that he had been running and was able to talk there and talk to some kids about my life story and things like that. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely a unique relationship for me, but I'm blessed to have it. And, you know, just the presence that he brings in the locker room, in the linebacker room, and the leadership, you know, you don't find that everywhere. So, you know, coming from somewhere like South Dakota State, it's a really unique program. And, you know, you don't always have those traits at this level, and he's someone that embodies that. So just having that familiarity, you know, it goes a long way. So.
Yeah, he's Arkansas State. He understands, right?
Yeah.
When you got in the Seattle game, 8 snaps, but that was kind of an aberration. But the last few games, it's been pretty consistent, and you and Danny, and I think – Brandon Staley said this, so I don't think we're giving away any team secrets here, that you're on what they would call third down open downs.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
More like passing situations and rushing the passer. So, yeah, nothing too crazy. Since it's third and short, I probably won't go in, but they like to try and just utilize my speed and my strength, whether that's in coverage or, you know, we're doing some type of blitz. So.
Yeah, I think you're, of overall, if you're looking at PFF, you've had – pass rush 6, coverage, you know, reps 15. So where your abilities, your best abilities are.
Yeah. Just get me out in space. Let me run, instincts, and obviously doing that, being able to, you know, prove the coaches that I can do it the right way, and, you know, hopefully continue to grow more. But I mean, it's all out of my control. Like, I just go out there, take it play by play. You know, I go out there and I love the game, and I feel like I play it the right way, and I want that to be an example for my teammates too, like giving it my all every play, because that just is infectious. And, you know, if everyone starts playing like that, you know, it can really go a long way.
Take a quick break. We are talking to Isaiah Stallbird, the linebacker for the Saints, and we will come back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints linebacker Isaiah Stallbird. And we're finished off the last block. We were talking about you being in and the different plays. When that hole opened up first series and you on the right side and you had that shot at Baker, I mean, just give me a sense what was going on. Because it was a good hole, and you knew your speed was going to get to him. And it was almost like, are you thinking – get to him, but don't go so fast that you blow past, you know, the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. He gave me a little shake, because a lot of quarterbacks, they like to roll out. So when I saw open and how free the shot was, that's what I was thinking. So he gave me that little shake and then stepped back up, and I was able to get a little piece of him. It's awesome to have that happen, but, you know, that competitor, it's like, dang, I wish I would have had it to myself. But in retrospect, you know, as long as I'm out there helping the team, I can't complain and having that opportunity. So
yeah, they got the sack. What you did was hold him up long enough. He had to duck.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you know, the pocket had collapsed. You're right. I know. I get it, man. I mean, you're looking at him and your eyes must have been, you know, the size of basketballs.
Oh, 100%.
Getting a chance to take a shot at the guy who said he didn't like us, for God's sakes. You know, you kind of made your bones special teams, right? Because That's showing a coach, your coordinator, your head coach, doesn't matter. That's desire, right? That's me wanting to be my guy and get to the ball. Nothing else, right? Mm-hmm. Has it always been? That's kind of, I mean, you're like Taysom Hill, right? Go run through the wall. Go tackle that guy. Tell me about what makes special teams important for you.
It just goes back to how I started my career, like that walk-on. You know, I had to earn those opportunities, and that was my pathway to get more playing time on the field. So, I mean, I never took that lightly. And then, again, it's another opportunity to go out there and play the game we love. And I think just to piggyback on that, too, you know, I was blessed to have great coaches that just kind of pushed me to go out there and give my all every snap. And, you know, you benefit from the results rather than worrying so much about what if they do this, what if they do that. It's just see your keys and go and react off it.
Where are you on the kick coverage?
Kind of all over the place.
Do they move you?
Yeah. It just depends. Like, you know, every coach, as far as special teams wise, they like to try and get matchup based. So, you know, they set you up in the best position to make a play, whether it's me, Danny, Chris, or anyone else that's out there. So.
We've had, I believe, 9 special team stops, team lead, and so awesome
missed
there.
A handful too.
And I will say this, that we don't miss your tackles, because when you get them, it's a pretty good thump.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, because when you started, I mean, it would have been just maybe not with the Saints and at that time, but you've played both regular kickoff and dynamic kickoff, obviously, in your career. What? I guess from a dynamic kickoff standpoint, it's got to be, at least, you know, hey, man, more times than not, I'm going to be in on this play.
Yeah, no, 100%, because you don't have to run down the field and go blow up a wedge or worry about that. So I like it because, you know, he can really win off a couple moves. But, I mean, also I think that physicality factor, too, from the old kickoff is still having that same mentality even though we're 5 yards apart. So.
Is it easier, harder? Like that, you're focusing more on that guy in front of you who's 5 yards, who before you had to focus more on just one guy.
Yeah.
You know, so your focus is a little more tunnel.
Mm-hmm. And it's more, I think what's harder is probably the kickoff coverage when you're blocking, you know, because it's not a ton of space. And it's like if you aren't playing your technique right, you can get beat. And then they're the ones going to make the tackle, like you said. So it has its pros and cons, I'd say.
Yep. So we'll finish up because I want to let you get going. It's your day off. We appreciate you coming in here. South Dakota State, FCS. I went to James Madison, FCS. I hate FCS. I just don't like the word subdivision.
Yeah.
I think that's – I just don't like it.
Yeah.
But we were gone. We played you, but not in the finals.
Yeah, you whooped us, though.
Yeah. In 22 and 23, you win the national championship. So in 23 – you beat Montana. You beat the biggies, Montana State, and you play North Dakota State in the championship. Now, I can't – you have to understand FCS to understand what this rivalry and what this game must have been like. What was – and I was in Frisco, Texas. There's no place in South Dakota, North Dakota could have held this game, right? And so what was that like?
It was electric because, I mean, you know, we already play them for the marker. And it's just, you know, when the stakes are elevated even more. I mean, we already beat them, and I mean, we knew we were going to beat them again, so it made it sweeter in getting the first national championship. That was the first one.
For the game one was the first one, and then you beat
Montana State.
Montana State. One.
And then just getting your first national championship for your school was just to be able to be a part of that history. And when I got there, seeing the progress for the program, you know, it's super cool having a legacy like that. And then leaving that for the guys that are there now, them trying to continue it. So,
well, awesome. It's the right progression. Walk on, fight your way. Continued success. Best of luck.
And thank you.
We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you.
That is our show for tonight. The news of the day, of course, Tyler Shuck will get his first start in Los Angeles against the 5-2 Rams at SoFi Stadium. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, Jeff Ireland, VP and Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, and linebacker Isaiah Stallbird. We will look for you next week after the Rams game. This has been the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.